Today we are going to talk about topic number 13, which deals with privacy and security. And we look at a couple of issues there. Now, privacy basically deals with keeping your information private, what you're doing private. And as it says here on page 1, there are two basic threats to privacy, government and business. And there are some fundamental questions that come up here. For example, should the government have access to certain types of information? All right, in the post-9/11 era especially, you worry about certain things. And there's the internet is a very easy way to send information worldwide. And so the question is whether you should be able to keep your data private, your information private, or are there safety concerns which may override that? It's not an easy question to answer. It's not a simplistic question. All right, and so that's one issue that you have here. There's another thing that deals with business. All right, business also tries to gain access to your private information. Business access to information. Should they have access to what's going on your computer? Is that good or bad? And of course, the idea over there is always to make money. They're trying to target you to be able to sell you products or sell you services. Targeted advertisements. Many of the companies, when you access their websites, they try to gain information or learn information about your buying habits or what you're interested in, and then will target you with advertisements. Try to buy this. Oh, you bought that. Maybe you'd like to buy this also. Or maybe we have some vendors that we work with. Maybe you'd be interested in them. So there are these types of issues that are involved. Any questions on that? Have you all heard about a cookie? A cookie based on the internet here. We're not talking about the cookies that you eat at home, the chocolate chip cookies and things like that. All right, what is a cookie? And here, take a look at the bottom of page 1, and we'll talk a little bit about them. We'll see how they deal with these privacy issues also. As it says here, cookies are actually small text files. They're text files. And they're stored on your computer by a server. You're accessing somebody's website, and you're interacting with that website. And there are a number of websites, and indeed as part of laboratory homework number 13, you're going to be looking at these cookies. You're going to see how those websites you access, those servers sometimes will place cookies or try to place cookies onto your computer. They actually write information on your computer. They are used to maintain information between page requests to the server. You're interacting with a server, and often that server will put information on your computer. They write little text files. Very simple example of a type of cookie is when you do online shopping. And I don't know, wherever you go to Staples, you go to any place, and you do online shopping, and I order one of these and one of those and one of them, and you make a collection. They all go into what is called your shopping cart. Typically, most of the businesses that are online, they will have a shopping cart. So where is that shopping cart maintained? Where do they maintain what you've actually tried to purchase or are thinking of purchasing at this point? It's not at their website. It's on your computer. It's actually every time you put something into your shopping cart, they write a cookie onto your computer indicating what's in your shopping cart. And they don't store the information by them. They don't get the information of what you bought until you actually purchase the items. Then you send the information to them, and they will go ahead and process it for you. But as you're loading up your cart, what is actually in your cart, what you're thinking of purchasing, is actually kept on your computer. They write a little cookie. As it says here, an example is to maintain the contents of a shopping cart. They write cookies, and it's maintained on your machine. And there are many other such examples. As you're interacting with websites, they write information on your machine, these little text files. Okay? Any questions on that? Now, these types of cookies are called second-party cookies or first-party cookies because you're having an interaction with a vendor. Let's say you're shopping at Staples or Office Max or wherever you're shopping, at any other website, Macy's, whatever you're doing. And as you're purchasing items, they're writing things on your computer. So you're having a one-to-one interaction or conversation with that other website. They can be called the first-party or the second-party. But the real difficulty, see that, you understand. You understand you're interacting with a party. They have to maintain these shopping carts or things like that. But the real difficulty, as it says here towards the bottom of page 1, is the problem with cookies are what's called third-party cookies. What's a third party? Right? You're interacting with another, with a site. Those are really the first two parties. You and that other party are both first parties to the conversation. The third party is somebody else that you're not currently interacting with. And as it says here, for example, a website may contract with an ad agency to place ads on its page. Pop-up windows, pop-up ads. They come from who knows what. You're interacting with, I don't know, Office Max, and who knows what you get. You get a pop-up ad from who knows what. Hewlett Packard or Dell or I don't know. When you visit the server, it sends a request to the ad agency to display an ad. All right, you're shopping for a certain type of item. And they say, oh, wait, this person is shopping for this type of item. Maybe they'd be interested with our partner. And they get the ad from that third party and it pops up on your machine. Right? Now, you didn't interact with that third party, but they try to get you interested. Those are things they do. And more than that, when you visit the server, it sends a request to the ad agency to display an ad. But then, it is suddenly allowing that ad company to place a cookie on your computer without you realizing it. They make notations. Oh, you visited this site. You got interested in this. You were interested in that. And they may actually store that information on your computer. As it says, if you later visit a different web server that contracts with the same agency, it will be able to retrieve those cookies, and the ad agency will now know which other companies you interacted with. They can learn information about you, your habits, what you like, what you don't like, what you've been searching for, and they store that information on your computer. And you may not even know that it's there. You'll be surprised, shocked, how many cookies get actually created and stored on your computer. What? You can delete them, yes. You can go and we'll learn it as part of your laboratory and homework. You're going to be looking at some of these cookies and seeing how they pop up. Yes, when you go to the tools and you can look for them and find them. And there are ways to do that. Okay, you will go ahead and we will manage those. But that's going to be part of your laboratory or homework. Here we introduce the concept. Yes, you can block third-party cookies from popping up. And yes, you can delete the cookies. You can try to look. Not always will you make sense of what's inside a cookie. You can look at, they are text files, but it's not necessarily in a form that you will understand what's written there. Okay, but yes, you can block them. Yes, you can delete them. Okay, not always. If you're shopping, sometimes you can't block everything. Otherwise, you can't create a shopping cart. But you can try to limit them. How many third-party cookies get created? You'll be shocked. And again, I said that's part of the homework. You're going to actually take a look at that. Any questions? Page 2. All right, page 2 talks a little bit about e-commerce and secure transactions. All right. Information sent over the internet can be intercepted by a third party. All right. They could be listening to what you're sending. And you have to assume that that's possible. All right. Whatever you send over the internet, somebody else can listen and pick it up. And there are many ways of doing that, many ways. They can intercept it at a router. They can actually, from these computers over here, you can actually, there are listening devices. They don't even have to be attached to the computer. You can actually listen to what's being transmitted. These are not secure computers. And they radiate energy. And there are ways of actually listening to what you're sending. I don't have to attach to anything. I can have devices that can pick up what's radiating from your computer. There are ways of doing that. Okay, beyond the scope of our discussions here. I could be outside and listen to what's on your computer. Okay. They can be intercepted. So now, if you're sending certain information, obviously certain information you don't want other parties to intercept. Right? Credit card numbers, passwords. Right? You're accessing secure information, whether it's a bank account or anything of that nature. You don't want others to learn the authorization codes, the passwords, the user IDs, and things of that nature. So how do you keep them secure? You have to assume somebody's listening. Somebody can listen. So you have to assume the other person can intercept what you send, and the whole idea is they shouldn't be able to understand it. So typically, the best way to do that is to keep the information secure. You typically use encryption. You encode the information in a way that even if the third party intercepts it, they will not be able to understand what's being transmitted. You use an encryption method. Okay. Now, it is often used on computers when you're using the internet and you're doing secure transactions, like banking transactions, or when you're buying and you're sending your credit card information. you enter a secure mode of transmission. The typical mode that is used is what's called SSL, the Secure Socket Layer. And again, as part of the laboratory and homework, we'll be looking at this in more detail. The Secure Socket Layer, or the SSL protocol for secure transactions, is typically what is used when you have to send secure information. You will recognize that you've entered this mode. Anybody know how? All right. Web pages using this protocol are accessed using HTTPS. Notice on this web page right here where we're looking at these lecture notes, if you look at the top, you see the protocol they're using is known as the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, HTTP. That's the most common protocol used for sending web pages over the web. And if you look at the address bar all the way on top, you see that this particular page, its URL starts with HTTP because we're using regular Hypertext Transfer Protocol, and indeed, this could be intercepted, no problem. But I don't have anything that's secure over here. When you're going to go ahead and try to send secure information, you typically move over to a different protocol, a related protocol known as HTTPS, the Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure, which uses this SSL. SSL uses, as it says here, certificates. Many websites get certified that they are who they are. They use certificates to verify that a web server is really what it claims to be. If you're interacting with, I don't know, a bank that it claims to be that bank, they will have certified information. And it typically also then uses types of encryption. When we get to topic number 14, the next lecture after this, we will meet some encryption methods. We'll talk about some typical encryption methods that are used. But here, in this lecture and then in the follow-up lab, you're all going to take a look a little bit about that also. Just to illustrate that, let me just go to a website. If I go up on top here to the address bar, and I'll put in, I don't know, a typical website. Let's say I go to a bank. I'll pick some bank. Let's say Citibank. Okay, so I'm going to type in citibank.com, and I go to that website, and this will be the initial homepage of Citibank when it does come in. And let's see what happens. It's opening the page. It's taking its time. We've come to Citibank. And you notice this is their home page. And for now, you notice it just says HTTP and www.citibank.com. This is their home page. They give you the information. This is not yet secure. Let's see what would happen if I try to log in to my account. I'm not going to do the full login. But all I'm going to do is on this page, there happens to be one hyperlink that says sign on. And, of course, you have similar things to any shopping sites. Most of the shopping sites will have the ability for you to log in. They store your information, and you can log into it. So let's say I click on the sign in. Now, take a look. A number of things are going to take place. You're going to look at this whole page. You're going to take a look at the address bar. And we're also going to take a look at some other features that happen on this page. So I'm going to click on that link that says sign on, and let's see what happens. All right? I clicked on it, and I'm just going to wait for the page to come in. And a number of things have occurred. First of all, take a look at the address bar. And what, as part of the URL, what method is it using? What does it say? What does it begin with? It's not HTTP any longer, right? It's HTTPS. You notice it has entered the secure mode of HTTP that uses this SSL, secure socket layer. Because here I'm going to be logging onto my account and have access to all my money, whatever it is. And in this way, the transactions or the information that's sent is going to be encrypted. It's going to be secured. I also know that this is a verified site. Right? I can take a look at there are ways of looking at the certificates and seeing that indeed it is a verified site. Okay? Some other things that you will notice. In the lower right-hand corner, we're using here Internet Explorer. In the lower right corner, you also see this little lock that has come up. See the lock? That's also an indication that we have now entered a secure mode of transmission. Okay, on the previous page, I'll go back to the previous page. When we had regular HTTP, there's no lock. It's not secured. It's not encrypted, the transmission. And now this new page where I was going to log in, you'll notice that there's the lock. So that's another sign that I have entered a secure mode of transmission, an encrypted mode of transmission, and I'm using this SSL. Any questions on that? Okay. You can try this with any website that you log into. It should be secure. If they ever get some email that says, their customer, and they don't give you your actual name, your account has been compromised, please log into our site and give us all this information, like your user ID and password and credit card number and whatever else they're looking for, is typically a fraud. They're phishing. One, they never used your name. If it was really a site that you had an account with, they would use your name. They know your name. But it only says dear customer. It's a fraud. Okay. And you can also take a look and see the types of security methods they're trying to. You see they won't be secure. Your transmissions won't be secure. And you can typically tell. You can typically tell. Be very careful when you get emails that say your account has been compromised. That's not the way a real site will talk to you. That's not what they will do. Okay. Any questions on that? All right, that's basically the lecture that we have here. And as I said, when we get to the laboratory and the homework, we will be expanding on this discussion. Any questions? That's lecture number 13.